The following recording was made of a candidate forum held for candidates for Bozeman's municipal seats. It was originally held via Zoom and broadcast on KGVM on Monday, October 23rd of 2023. Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can find us at 95.9 on your FM dial or kgvm.org online. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. This evening, we've got a special program, a candidate forum for candidates for the seats of Bozeman Mayor, City Commissioner, and City Judge. This forum is sponsored by Bozeman City for CEDA, and the forum tonight will explore themes of fairness, equity, and human rights, and there will be questions for the candidates, mostly focused around those issues. We will have other candidate forums that we will be airing. We're recording some forums that will air in the coming week or so. The election is almost upon us, so hopefully people are getting ready for that and getting prepared to vote. It is a mail-in election this year for this election, so you should be getting your ballots in the mail if you haven't already, and you need to vote them, mail them back, or you can turn them in at various drop boxes throughout the county. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I'm going to use a line that I'm going to borrow from Tom Hartman. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so people need to get involved, pay attention to the issues, learn about the candidates, and then participate. So I want to, again, thank you for tuning in, for your interest in this. We will have the recording of this forum available on the KGVM.org website after the forum is finished. We'll, in the next day or two, have that up on the website for you as well. So if you know people that weren't able to tune in tonight, or if you want to listen again, you can find it on kgvm.org. Just look for the election 2023 section, and we'll have the recordings available of this and the other forums and interviews that we've done. While we're getting ready for the forum, I did, again, want to remind you this is sponsored for Bozeman City for CEDA. They have got a voter's guide available, and they've sponsored this candidate forum. It's being held via Zoom. Again, it is a candidate forum for the candidates for Bozeman Mayor, Bozeman City Commission, and City Judge. And this particular forum is going to be focusing on women's, girls, and human rights and the promotion of fairness, equity, and inclusion to close the gender, race, and income and other disparity gaps in the community. There were some questions that were submitted to the candidates ahead of time, and then there will be a Q&A session for this as well.
All right, let's get started. Thank you all for being
here. Recording in progress.
This is being recorded. You probably just got that prompt for KGVM, so it'll be posted there later. I'm just going to go over a few ground rules for the audience. Please refrain from using your microphone. If you have a question, I'd save it till the end. I'll let you know when it's a Q&A time, and then just go ahead and pop it in the messages. You can also direct message me if that's easier. If you're off mute, we'll mute you. Candidates, you're going to have 2 minutes to answer each question. Nova will raise their hand via the emoji when you have 30 seconds remaining. All right, are we ready to begin? We're going to start with Jennifer and then Roger, we're going to do intros first. So opening statements are going to start with John and then Joey and then Carolina as our city judge candidate, and then Roger and Jennifer. So, John, would you like to begin with your introduction?
Sure. Can you hear me okay? Hi there, my name is John Meyer. I'm running for mayor of Bozeman to make our town the most sustainable on the planet. I also have twin boys that just turned 4 last month. I'm running for mayor to ensure they have a good town to grow up in. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. I went to the University of Montana. I studied biology and Spanish. I then worked for the U.S. Forest Service as a federal biologist. During that time, I worked as a community organizer in Missoula. I started a student group that is responsible and credited for having the University of Montana break its exclusive contract with Russell Athletic Wear. Our clothing was being made in sweatshops and overseas, so the university broke its contract because of our work. After organizing, I went to law school, graduated with honors, started a nonprofit law firm. So for the last 13 years, I've been litigating cases in state and federal court. In the last year, I've won two cases in the Montana Supreme Court against the Montana Attorney General. I volunteer my time at alcohol recovery centers across Bozeman and work to help get people cleaned up and sober.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, Joey, want to pop on?
Yeah. Hi, everybody. My name is Joey Morrison. I'm running for mayor to fight for and represent the working people of Bozeman that make this community run. I've had the fortune of living my entire life in Montana. I grew up in eastern Montana in the big city of Miles City, Montana. It was there that I was raised by a single mom, and we really struggled to get by. And I had to learn firsthand the struggles that a lot of Montanans have to experience, as well as learning the beauty and power that comes in communities coming together, whether it was through potlucks or at our church or just neighbors helping us out. I learned very early on that we need to help each other out every now and then. I brought those same values and experiences here to Montana State University to go to school, where I spent my days in classes and my nights working at the Warming Center, our shelter for folks experiencing homelessness. I've spent the majority of my career as a social worker working with some of the most marginalized people in this community, and have had the honor of being able to live through and live by many of the same principles that unite the membership of CEDA, that I've had to bring into my social work experiences working with organizations like Haven, working with survivors of domestic and sexual violence. And that same leadership and that conviction and those values are the same things that have brought me forward into this moment where I've been able to, you know, now have the honor of endorsements from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Montana, as well as former mayors Carson Taylor and Steve Kirchhoff, local organizer Jan Strout, as well as most recently the endorsement of Commissioner Coburn, which I'm really honored to be able to announce that. And to me, it's about being able to bring us all together to move forward. I'm a convener. I'm a humble, graceful person that takes it really seriously that we need to be able to come together and work across all of our values, across disagreement. And I'm really honored to be asking for your vote this November.
Thanks, Joey. Carolina, would you like to step up?
Yes. My name is Carolina Tierney, and I am running to be the next Bozeman Municipal Court Judge. I've been practicing in our community as a lawyer since 2014. And I started my career at the Bozeman Public Defender's Office and then went into private practice 4 years ago. I currently practice almost exclusively in criminal defense, but also practice as a special deputy county attorney with the Gallatin County Attorney's Office prosecuting child abuse and neglect cases. I've represented clients in over 1,500 cases and have been a substitute judge in both the Belgrade City Court and currently the Bozeman Municipal Court and the Gallatin County Justice Court. I was born in Poland and my family immigrated to Canada where I grew up. I've had the opportunity to live in many places throughout the United States, completing my bachelor degree at Yale, my law degree at Emory in Atlanta, and settling in Bozeman with my husband who wished to return to his home state and be closer to family. I give you my background and my circuitous route to Bozeman because these experiences motivated me to run for this position, and they also impact what I hope to achieve in this position. Believe that a judge position is a service position and one that can greatly impact our community, especially a growing community such as Bozeman. I have a unique perspective, and along with my varied professional experience within the justice system in the roles of defense, prosecution, and on the bench, have shown me the importance of empathy, decency, and fairness in the courtroom. I hope to be a judge who allows all those involved in the justice system to do their jobs in order to allow the system to work as intended and for justice to be served. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Roger.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for attending tonight. My name is Roger Blank, and I am also an attorney. I've got a background in law enforcement. I'm a former assistant district attorney. I was a prosecutor in the Bronx, New York. I'm originally from the East Coast. After I left the Bronx DA's office, I went on to become a special prosecutor with the New York City Police Department, where I prosecuted police officials for corruption and official misconduct. And currently, I've got my own practice now, and it is a defense practice. I am running for city commissioner because in my time here, I've seen what I believe to be a change and the responsiveness or the lack thereof from the city administration regarding the concerns of the residents of Bozeman. Specifically in my area, I know the issue of the urban campers is a hot topic. That's what initially motivated me to get involved. But I've also seen in my time here some nonsensical decisions from the administration regarding growth in Bozeman. I think I have something to contribute from the law enforcement perspective, especially when it comes to women and girls and public safety. Certainly, I've noticed a decrease in public safety in my neighborhood with an increase in petty theft and petty crimes. And I think my unique background, I want to bring a diversity of opinion to the city commission, which I feel walks too much lockstep. And I think that an alternative voice with fresh eyes on our community's problems is what I bring to the table. And I thank you for listening to me this evening. And I request your vote when the time comes on in November. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jennifer.
Yeah, thanks, Cam. And thanks so much to CEDA for putting this on tonight. I feel like I've really learned a lot from CEDA over the past 3 years, starting with a forum 2 years ago and your questionnaires and so forth. And it just really impresses upon me the value of these kind of discussions. So thank you so much. So I've been on the City Commission for the past 3 years. I have lived in Bozeman for the past 25 years. I'm not an attorney like many people here tonight. I am a community planner. I have a master's degree in planning, and I have experience working as a city planner, county planner. I worked for Senator Tester for 10 years. And when I think about community planning, it's the planning part that, quite frankly, can be pretty easy. I can go into a room by myself or work with a couple of people and kind of map out how a community can look. But that does not involve the community. And that, to me, is the most important part of community planning, is actually involving the people who live in your community and elevating their voice. So I take seriously that issue of community. And one thing that strikes me in our community is the need for protecting and enhancing the health of our community. I think my friend Kathy Kostakis is on the call tonight, and she talks a lot about community health and what that means. And to me, that means having enough housing to meet the needs of the people who work and go to school here. It means about care. It means to have care about the social and economic issues that stress our community. It means caring about the cost of living and equity. It means things like safety.
5 seconds left. Sorry.
Okay.
To interrupt.
So I really think, that's all I have. Thanks.
Thank you. I'm going to take a moment now to just briefly thank you all for being here on behalf of CEDA. If you don't know, CEDA stands for the Convention of Elimination Against Discrimination Against Women and Girls. Sorry, that acronym always messes me up. Bozeman has its own little group that's working on that. So if you're interested, please reach out to me after this. All right, we're going to move into questions. So we're going to begin with the first question, which is on the voter guide. I'll drop it in the chat. It begins with affordable housing. This one's going to go Jennifer, Roger, Joey, and then John. Because Carolina is a city judge candidate, she's not going to take a stance on any of these. So she'll be back for a closing statement. All right. The state legislature has prohibited local entities from enacting inclusionary zoning statutes and has stopped increased property taxation of second and third homes in our city. Do you support efforts to get the state legislature to repeal these or other restrictions? And what immediate actions on the local level would you support to remedy the affordable housing problem? So Jennifer, back to you.
Thank you. So housing really is one of our most critical issues, hands down. We talk about it at almost every single commission meeting. It has been front and center. It is so important because if you don't have adequate housing, you start to see things crumble. You start to lose workforce, you start to lose students, whatever it happens to be. You might have congestion with people having to drive in long distances. So housing is critical. And I think we've all been disappointed somewhat with things that were getting handed down from the legislature, like losing inclusionary zoning. But I think that we're doing okay in making up for the grip that Helena has placed on us and coming up with our own solutions. And I think we have such a wealth of creativity in our community to come up with a variety of housing types. And that's exactly what we need, is a variety of housing types to meet the variety of needs that are out there. So different kinds of housing include, you know, we all talk about single family housing being the American dream, but there's duplexes, small apartment buildings, cooperative housing. There's a great model out of Missoula recently. There are articles like this out of the Flathead talking about community land trusts. We have a community land trust here in Bozeman. We're seeing a lot of private-public partnerships between developers in the city. And that's producing a number of great housing options out there, developments that are about to come online. We're also seeing the private sector respond with a lot of apartments. So I think we need to go back to the voters with another affordable housing bond, but we need to stay the course with using the creative minds in Bozeman to provide adequate and appropriate housing.
Thank you. All right, Roger.
Can you all hear me? Okay, so, well, first of all, there's affordable housing is a complex issue. There's no one solution to it. We need essentially an all of the above solution to affordable housing. Recently, the legislature in this past legislative session passing SB 382 and 323 have given municipalities the ammunition to now address the affordable housing crisis. And it is an affordable housing crisis because in Bozeman, children who are born and reared here often cannot afford to stay here. And that a community is in crisis when its children cannot continue to live in the home, the location of their birth, in the city of their birth. So it needs to be addressed. I would allow, certainly is part of addressing it, and the legislature has given us this ability to allow higher density housing in residential areas, but not across the board. It's appropriate to have higher density. I live in Northwest Bozeman. It's appropriate to have higher density housing where I live, where it is already established, than it is, for example, in a single family residence neighborhood or downtown. Where there is carrying capacity for this higher density, it certainly should be allowed and it should be explored. Additionally, on the specific affordable housing issue directly, ADUs, but ADUs that have deed restrictions. For example, it has to go to an employee who works in Bozeman. And the person who builds the ADU, the homeowner who builds the ADU, can be given certain public-private agreements where they will, for example, the city will set aside a fund to sponsor the development of the ADU. The ADU developer can either get a low-interest loan or even a free grant. And in return, they must agree to have an affordable housing set rental charge for X number of years. That's one
That's
way
time.
To...
Sorry, Roger, that's time.
No, I'm, thank you.
Joey, you're next.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the housing crisis is something that crunches every other part of our community. When folks say, oh, it's just a housing crisis, it's not to everything else yet, but it starts to squeeze everything else when our teachers can't afford to stay here, when our businesses can't stay open. That's when we start to feel, that's too late when we start to treat it as a crisis, when we're at that point. We need to start really actively treating it like a crisis right now. And to me, one of the things that means is shifting our priority. What I see in a lot of the priorities in how the city conducts itself right now is prioritizing folks that don't live here yet, but might move here and are going to make more money. And so we need to make this community more palatable for an incoming wealthier demographic, incoming millionaires, incoming investors, things like that. What that does is squeezes out the rest of us. And so when we're thinking about priorities, we need to make sure that we are prioritizing the working people, the homeowners that are here right now, the renters that are here right now, rather than what are we doing for the folks that might come here at some point and making it more palatable for them. Some of these tools are taken away from us. And I do want to talk about Helena really briefly, but I want to say like where we are right now, we can either to accommodate our inventory problem, which I heard about constantly while I sat on the city's economic vitality board that oversees affordable housing, was we can either build up, we can build out, or we can build in. We're building out, which creates a lot of sprawl. It means we're spending more time in our cars. It doesn't meet our health goals, doesn't meet our climate goals. So we need to be able to build up where it makes sense, have really subtle and gentle density in places that it makes sense, and also allow it, make it easier for folks to internally subdivide existing structures and put ADUs in areas that make sense. This is one of the ways that we can create more density without really modifying the character of neighborhoods hardly at all. But then also, if you want to make sure that we can go and take these tools back from Helena, I really think it makes the most sense to elect a community organizer with tried and true skills in this community to break bread with our rural and more conservative cities, because they have something to lose when Helena takes power away from us. And we need to come together as a big coalition to say you cannot take these things away from us.
That's next. Time. All right. Next up is John.
Hi there. So I think we all agree that we are in the midst of a housing crisis. I think what the solution is differs depending on the candidate. I think that it's not enough to say we're experiencing a crisis and Helena has taken away our options. I think the city needs to shift power back to itself. And I think the way to do that is to say, we are not going to approve any more luxury developments in Bozeman. We will approve affordable housing developments, but we're not going to approve luxury developments in Bozeman. That's called a moratorium. The Montana Supreme Court, the Montana laws allow that to be in place for up to 2.5 years, starts out at 6 months and go for up to 2.5 years. And by doing that, you're going to tell the developers, you no longer control our town, because that's what's happening right now is the developers think they run our town and they build luxury housing that's not appropriate. It's not sustainable. We can't do that anymore. And so there's recently been what's called the UDC revisions, and those allow the developers to buy up houses in single family neighborhoods and put in huge buildings that are inappropriate for the area. They displace people. They're going to raise the cost of living. It's all luxury housing. There's no requirement to build affordable housing as part of these UDC revisions. I'm the only candidate who has repeatedly said we need to scrap the UDC revisions and start over from the very beginning. I think the city should also challenge the inclusionary zoning statute that was passed by the Montana legislature as being unconstitutional. What's happening is that because we can't require inclusionary zoning as any development proposal, we have people living in their cars in Bozeman who work in town. That's not okay. That's not appropriate. And so if we challenge this law saying by you are eliminating our ability to require affordable housing to be built, and as a result, we are seeing people, we have human waste, we have needles, we have all these things that are infringing upon our right to a clean and healthful environment. We can't have a clean environment if we have people living in their cars because they can't find a place to live. And so I think as
that's
a city-
time. Thanks, John. Before we move on to question two, I just want to note that City Mayor Cindy Andrews was invited to join but was unable to. So question two, this is also on the voter guide. It's under number seven. What is your vision for Bozeman in 10 years? And what are two or three priority actions that you would promote and focus on in office? And we're going to go through the same order. So back to you, Jen.
Oops, sorry. So thank you so much for this question. I think it's always good to look into the future and think about the community that we want to leave behind. I quoted Terry Tempest Williams in the first forum. She's one of my favorite writers. She writes about the West. She says, they're watching us from the future, praying that we do our part in our time. And I think that this is so important. We all, as members of this community, I think, have a responsibility to do just that, our part in our time. That means contributing to local government, voting, participating on city boards, being a good neighbor, helping people, helping communities. So My vision looking back is one that we have a community that is safe and welcoming, more so than it is right now. It is a community that has provided enough housing for the people who work here and go to school here. It provides a sensitivity to the landscape that we're not ruining what we all love, not just about Bozeman, but our surrounding areas. You know, we have such an embarrassment of riches when it comes to the outdoors. It's our rivers, it's our mountains, it's our clean air, it's our clean water. And all of that, if it is ruined on the outside, it's going to be ruined on the inside within city limits. So I think we do a good job of taking care. We protect our wetlands, we protect our rivers, we protect our creeks, we protect our backyards with native species, we protect our wildlife. And wildlife, I mean that by our big wildlife, but also our small wildlife when it comes
That's
to
time, Jen. Sorry.
Pollinators, birds. Thank you.
On to you, Roger.
Yeah, hi. First and foremost, a city administration that's responsive and answers to the taxpaying residents of Bozeman. Are we all, whoever you elect, work for you, and the city administration must answer to you. Two, long term, hopefully 10 years from now, the affordable housing issue will have been addressed and we'll have safe, although larger communities, but development where it's appropriate. And also sane-sensical development with that, one that preserves our natural environment, something that allows all residents within Bozeman to work together for a greater future for all of Bozeman's residents, irrespective of their economic station in life. We're all invested in this community together. All of our solutions should be community oriented and community based. I also want to see a preservation of the natural environment through there'll have to be changes to the UDC, which has already had a pause put on it, justifiably so, because there wasn't community buy-in. But there'll have to be adjustments to that to reflect the reality of our water usage, and we'll have to pursue additional avenues of water resource management as well as capture. So possibly in 10 years from now, there may be two reservoirs servicing Bozeman and two areas of recreational use for Bozemanites to go to. Because the reality is water is a finite resource here. We're gonna have to save it. And the reality is we're also growing, and the growth has to be managed and managed appropriately. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Joey, you're up.
Yeah, when thinking into the future, sometimes I get a lot of anxiety as being a young person who's grown up with climate change as just an inevitable part of my lived experience. When I think 10 years from now, I hope that we are in a community where we can come together despite differences in our values or differences in beliefs, but that we can still come together as a community and we condemn hate when it shows up in our streets, and we stand up for our fellow neighbors when people show up to threaten them, whether that be, you know, like homophobia or transphobia or white supremacists in our streets, that we see city leadership that steps up and says that's not acceptable here and the community comes around it. I also hope that in 10 years, homelessness is something that we have really gotten under control, that we don't have people sleeping on the streets that are working in our local restaurants and local businesses, that homelessness becomes a rare and brief endeavor, that we have the sufficient services to make sure that those folks get the help that they need rather than having to subsist on the streets. But I also hope that we have our climate and our water under control. And I think there's a few things that we can be doing right now to make sure that we get there. One of them is making sure that there's like five important points that matter a lot to me that give me some anxiety that I think about. One is getting an answer to actually how much water can we how much water do we have based on how many people are living in the valley, which is a bigger question beyond just Bozeman. That's a Bozeman and Belgrade and County and Four Corners and Three Forks question that we need an answer to. How much water do we have? What do we have to work with here? And then adjust that into our density plans. We also need to make sure that we adequately staff a climate mitigation department, or, you know, I'm not tied to that name, but some sort of department within the city that goes and wins EPA money to make sure that we can execute on these things. Third piece is that we need to deepen our relationships between our other cities and counties so that we can figure out exactly who's responsible for what and who has the resources for what. The fourth piece that we need to make sure that we prioritize is cleaning up our development code. Parts of it work against us.
That's time.
Yeah.
All right, Joey, thanks. You. John.
10 years from now, I would like to see Bozeman be the most sustainable planet on the world. I'd like us to be a leader and example that other towns can follow. I think that for me, that means if you live outside of Bozeman, you don't have to drive a car into town. We have transportation public. We have bike lanes. We have buses. You should never have to drive your car again. You can take a bike or a bus to the grocery store. Everything should be public transportation accessible. I want to see my children, they're four now, when they're 14, I want to see them be able to ride safely to school. I talk to parents who say they won't let their kids bike to school. We need to change that. That's a really sustainable town is where people feel safe. Right now, that's not happening. And so we need to do better on that. Wildlife crossings, as an environmental attorney, I focus heavily on wildlife and corridors. I think the city of Bozeman can work with the Montana Department of Transportation and build wildlife crossings. It saves everybody money. It saves insurance companies money. It saves, if you're insured, you had a car, cost a lot of money. It's a great way to save money. There's so much to do. It's an exciting time for Bozeman to really step up and be the example for everyone.
Thank you. So now I have a few surprise questions for y'all, beginning with MMIP. So Indigenous people are four times more likely to go missing in Montana compared to other states, with most cases involving women facing sexual violence. The federal government's Savannahs Act seeks to improve the federal response to MMIP. Would you seek to create a similar initiative? Why or why not? Starting with you again, Jen.
Yeah, I would. I think we need to do everything we can as a state to address that very troubling issue. The tribes just can't go it alone. We need to step up and provide support, provide law enforcement if needed, and I think this is happening in our community, but educate ourselves as to the impact of those issues on some of our neighbors and important relatives of this land. I don't think we should stand by and allow it to happen without us intervening. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Yes, I do support it. And actually, I support further the development of a multi-jurisdictional task force. The feds themselves or the tribes themselves, the feds will not address this issue. The tribes themselves apparently cannot address this issue. But that doesn't mean that that should be taken out of their hands. All parties, all multi-jurisdictional parties should be working with the tribes to address this, because when girls and women go missing, it's not like they go missing only on the reservation, because Native Americans don't only live on the reservation. So there's got to be a cross communication between all stakeholders, and especially the tribes, as well as all the various law enforcement agencies in the state, be it on the state level, the county level, or the local level. In my background in law enforcement, I've worked with these multi-jurisdictional task force. They can be very effective if they're put together properly. And I would certainly recommend that that be done here, because it's really just inexcusable that this section of the population, women and girls, just going missing and then nothing being done about it. It's just not acceptable. Thank you.
Thank you. Joey.
Yeah, I think, yes, I would support any sorts of resources that we can do to be addressing this problem. I do want to say, no doubt, the city of Bozeman has a responsibility to play beyond the city. However, I do think there are responsibilities that we hold to be really, so yes, be strong, bold partners outside of Bozeman, but as well as looking internally. Like, we have beloved local agencies that tackle domestic violence, that talk about the disproportionate rates of violence that Indigenous communities face. That's happening here in Bozeman. It's not just something that happens away from us. While I worked at Haven, I worked with survivors of human trafficking. I worked with survivors of domestic violence. I know that there are those instances that occur here. I think it's important for us as a community to start to get really to get honest about the problem that we have here within our city limits, and make sure that unequivocally, the city is seen as a stalwart and loyal partner with any agency that is interfacing with these issues, that are supporting survivors of violence, that are supporting folks that have fled human trafficking, folks that are supporting efforts to protect and to ensure the safety of our Indigenous people here in this community as well. But no doubt there are additional ways for us to be building bigger, like multi-city coalitions to make sure that this is a problem that we address at the state level. But I don't want us to think that this isn't something that's happening here in Bozeman that we also need to address and be really quick to condemn as a problem that we're facing here in this community.
Thank you, John.
When I lived in Missoula, I volunteered at the women's shelter, survivors of domestic abuse. And that really was important to me, because my mother was sexually abused as a child. And so the extent that we can help Indigenous women, I'm all for that. I've represented Indigenous women in state court in the past. I've helped secure restraining orders to protect Indigenous women in the past. To the extent that Bozeman can help us address this missing, murdered Indigenous women problem, I'm all for that to the maximum extent that I can be of service.
Thank you. We have one final question before we move on to the Q&A period. We're going to start with Jen again. Gallatin County has been described as a childcare desert by the Montana Department of Labor and Industry, creating a significant barrier to the labor force for parents of young children. 57% of Montana businesses indicated a shortage of affordable childcare options in their community and supported increased access. Two-part question. A, will you continue to support and expand the City of Bozeman's workplace benefit of providing childcare to employees? And B, how will you encourage Bozeman businesses to do the same or support for working parents?
Yeah, Great question. Similar to when we experience any other issue that is so critical in our community, like say housing, you start to see the crumbling of things follow. And I think that can be said of lack of childcare when families don't have a place to take children. How are they expected to be members of our workforce and participate in our economy? So I would absolutely support City of Bozeman continuing to strengthen affordable childcare as much as the city can to kind of set a model and to encourage businesses. And I realize it's hard as a small business to take on something that is requiring a lot of resources. So I think anything that we can do to encourage, like the chamber or downtown business partnerships, groups that exist to provide support to smaller businesses, I think should be kind of a target and then provided with resources to help solve these issues. So I'm very much a supporter of doing what we can, including allowing childcare to happen in homes, in a variety of settings, even in the workplace, providing childcare during important meetings, whether it happens to be city commission meetings, or if you serve on a board and need help with childcare, you should be given some
That's
sort of
time, Jay.
resources. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Yes, I support the city's continued efforts for to support affordable childcare, both for municipal workers as well as for just average citizens. The issue of childcare, it's expensive for working people, roughly 50% and or greater, according to the particular area of employment, are women. So I think we need to maintain that workforce and the availability of that workforce. And if they can't go to work because they have to take care of their kids, that affects everyone. Now, when it comes to private employers offering of affordable child care, I would certainly encourage them to do so. And there are different ways that they can offer it or at least aid in their employees dealing with childcare issues without it necessarily costing them. For example, offering flex time to employees who have children so that they can get their children ready and off to school in the morning and not have to worry about necessarily not having that time to spend with them while they themselves are getting ready to go to work. I'd also offer different shifts, make different shifts available for women according to particular business, so that they can take care of their kids during the day and maybe work their shift in the evening. I think there are ways to for both the city and the private employment employers within the city to work together to certainly make it easier on parents. And this is applicable not just to women, but also to men. I think it across the board, if we help the public do what it has to do as parents, then they will be that much better employees because they won't have the stress of having to worry about their children when they're at work. Thank you.
Thank you. Joey?
Yeah, this is a good question, and I appreciate Jen you taking one for the team and answering first on each of these surprise questions. Yeah, I actually one of the things that I've been really excited about over the last year has been the work of a friend of mine and also someone who gave an endorsement of me, Representative Alice Buckley, who fought for and got passed a really important childcare bill through the state legislature. That makes it easier and more affordable for folks to get access, for working families to get access to childcare. We know any community that allows young families to succeed, that allows mothers to succeed, that allows parents to succeed, is a healthy one. There's data after data after data and report after report after report that tells us how important it is and how much we can measure the health of a community by the willingness for a community to prioritize its children, to prioritize its young families. Anything that we can be doing to make that, remove that barrier, that to me is the responsibility that the city has, is being able to remove those barriers in places that is possible. Mm-hmm. When I sat on the city's regional leadership committee, which was looking at effectively like how is the private sector participating in some of these solutions, they really talked up how much we need to make it easier and provide incentives, either both from the city as well as from the state, to make it easier for private businesses or organizations to provide childcare, whether that's offering up space, whether that is creating incentives that basically pay that business to do that. That's not all organizations are going to be able to do that. We might have a few big ones in town like Bozeman Health or the university or even the city itself. The city has a lot of employees that might be able to take part in some of these, but we definitely need to be doing whatever we can to remove these barriers, because as we're hemorrhaging young families, we're losing the future of this community. We're losing future careers. We're losing future people who are going to call this community home.
Thank you. And John.
The cost of childcare is very difficult. I say that as the father of twin 4-year-olds who has had to take a second job at a recycling plant to feed the family and pay for the babysitter. I say that as the person who has stood in line at the Walmart with baby formula in his hand, praying that I have enough money on the credit card to pay for the food and also money to pay for the childcare. It's crippling. The cost of childcare is so expensive. And so one thing I'm working on right now is trying to get pre-K, universal pre-K in the state of Montana. We are one of 6 states that does not offer pre-K to our youngest Montana residents. And so I'm working on a constitutional case right now in state court that will allow Montana voters to decide whether we're going to offer universal pre-K to our youngest residents to get them educated, to save families like mine money. We spend thousands of dollars every month on childcare and schooling, and this is a good way for us to save some money and help Bozeman and Montana families.
Thank you. Now we're going to move on to the Q&A period. I think we can go till about 7:10 with questions. It would be best if the audience could pose the questions to all candidates. You can go ahead and just drop those in the chat and we'll begin there. We're going to do the same 2-minute time limit per question.
It looks like we've solved all the world's problems.
Seems that way. I'm going to give it about 30 more seconds and then we'll move on to closing remarks. Awesome. We have one. So we'll do the same order, starting with Jen. Do you support a second home tax, and how can the city overcome state issues?
Yeah, boy, thank you, Deborah. Such a good question. Absolutely. I support a second home tax. I also support a local option sales tax. And the legislature, unfortunately, has prevented us from doing either. And not just this past session, but session after session, as much as the city of Bozeman has tried and other communities, we just can't get the legislature's attention. And I think it means that we need to do possibly a better job of educating the legislature about some of the challenges our bigger cities are facing, challenges that Bozeman is facing with housing, Missoula is facing, Helena, Great Falls, and Flathead. I really think too that, oh gosh, there was something and I just forgot it and I knew I was going to do that. Something to do. Oh, our tourism tax, you know, we talked about short-term rentals last week and the fact that we have a bed tax that's charged on short-term rentals. And that's great, but all of that money currently goes to the state to market Bozeman and market this part of Montana. I think that money needs to come directly back to us to use on affordable housing. And I'd love to work. It's time to work with our local legislators on trying to find a way to get more of that money directly in our community to help with our challenges. And that is the same with second home tax and giving Bozeman and other communities an opportunity to do that local option sales tax. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
I do support an expansion of some of the city and the state's taxing authority. Right now, as Commissioner Magic has said, we don't have that authority. However, I think it is fair to pursue that with the state. I'm also seeking expansion of the resort tax for the either out-of-staters or out of the local area that come to Bozeman, use the resources here, but don't contribute to the to those re to those to the economic costs of those used resources by an expansion of the resort tax. Because right now the resort tax, I believe, is only two municipalities, Big Sky being one of them, in Montana fall under that, because they fall under populations of 5,000. So I think, considering that we are a resort destination, there's no reason that we should not tax the people that come here, so that we can expand our infrastructure, expand our affordable housing, and expand the benefits for those of us who live here year-round, without increasing the taxes of the people who live here to support those who come here. Thank you.
Thank you, Joey.
Yeah, I was going to touch on short-term rentals a little bit since seeing as that is another question that popped up in the chat, I'm just going to keep it to the points of that first question. Yeah, we need the ability to, right now, most of the way that the city can get money is through property taxes from people who are already overtaxed. We need to be able to diversify the ways in which we as a community can get money to pay for things that we need, amenities and services that are essential to this community functioning. One of the ways that is unfortunately denied by the state legislature is yeah, absolutely being able to tax second homes or real estate transfer taxes or taxing out of state investments, taxing non-primary dwellings. All of these are tools that we need to make sure that we can go and fight for and get from the state legislature. Really, to me, the only path where we're going to be able to get those tools back is for us to be able to A, organize our own citizens with this community within Bozeman, bring us together through common issues of we need local control. We need every single tool we can possibly wield to be able to address our own problems. We know better what Bozeman needs than any other community in Montana, and that needs to be reflected. But to get there, I do believe we will need to be able to build strong partnerships with other cities, with other counties, and make sure that all of the groups that are stakeholders in this then have skin in the game, that we can come together, break bread, and go and fight for these things in Helena. That starts to me with, yes, organizing our own citizens, but making sure that our local elected representatives have an ally and a supporter within City Hall. Our local representatives are going to Helena every 2 years to fight for the things that we need back here. And we need to make sure that we are doing everything that we can, committing the resources that are appropriate to go and fight for those tools back, because we need to be able to govern ourselves in the way that we see fit.
Thank you, John.
I absolutely support a second home tax. I purchased my hunting and fishing license this year as a Montana resident. I paid $92. If you're a non-resident, you're going to pay $700, $800, $900 for that same license. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to charge non-residents more to enjoy Montana than we do now. So yeah, absolutely, we should be taxing these folks more. We need to get the Montana legislature's attention that we don't have the income we need. And I think the best way to do that is to say the city is no longer going to approve any unaffordable housing. We are not going to approve any more luxury developments. This is a housing crisis that we are facing right now. And so no more luxury developments. We don't need it. We don't want it. We want to work with the Montana legislature. Absolutely. And so we need your attention. We need you to come and sit down with us to ensure that that happens.
Thank you. Oh, sorry.
Oh, that's it.
You still got, okay. All right, moving on. Follow up on that. The next question in the chat, we've got quite a few popping in. Do you support the recent ban on new Airbnb and short-term rentals in Bozeman? And how do you balance homeowner rights with affordable housing? So back to you, Jen.
Yeah, I better support it considering I voted on it last week. And I do think, you know, so much of our jobs as commissioners, as members of boards, as members of this community are balancing different interests. The people who live in Bozeman, we're not all the same. We have different jobs. We have different incomes. We have different financial situations. We live in different neighborhoods and so forth. So when we get an issue like short-term rentals, we've really got to look at it as we did, I believe, in terms of the economics, the dynamics within some of our neighborhoods, the impact of our housing crisis, the impact on those who own short-term rentals and their expectation to continue a small business. I mean, there's really a whole gamut. And that is something that I think that we did. We passed an ordinance that basically banned type 3 short-term rentals, which are short-term rental, which is a full-time occupancy of a home. So a home can be used full-time as a short-term rental. And we allowed as a balance the grandfathering of some existing full-time short-term rentals. So I think we struck a balance, adopted an ordinance that possibly is right for this time. The good thing about any sort of ordinance or thing that the city commission does is it can be changed. It's meant to be dynamic. We're expected to kind of re-review it, see how it's going in a year, and see if we have to make changes. And I completely support that. So once again, balance is kind of where it's at.
Nice timing. All right, on to you, Roger.
First of all, I will give Commissioner Magic credit for the recent actions that the City Council took. I do believe it was a compromise, and you'll have to pardon my cat. I think he also agrees that it was a compromise. It was certainly a compromise that had to be made. I think it was a rather contentious vote. Nobody walked away happy, but I think in the end, that's what a fair compromise is. Nobody gets everything that they want. I look at it more as short-term rental control. It was a compromise decision. What we want to limit is not the people who live here in Bozeman and have an extra space to rent, or they are so they can afford their own place. Let's say they have their grandmother is now in a nursing home, and they don't want to sell the family home. They want to be able to rent it. What we want to limit and we want to control and keep out of our community is that outside investment class coming in, buying up stock, and then turning them into to basically revolving hotels. That's not acceptable. That takes stock off the market that people could otherwise have rented or otherwise have purchased. And it's they take money out of the community without contributing to the community. And that's what we want to control and limit. I think the decision was a compromise and a fair compromise of that. And so I think that's what we want to do is we want to keep Bozeman for Bozemanites and keep out that investment class, you know, being from L.A. or New York who wants to come in, suck up stock and make money off us without contributing to us. And I think you do that through these various controls. I would also include in the future deed restrictions and possibly a sales tax strictly on short-term rental properties. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, on to you, Joey.
Yeah, the city doesn't have as many levers as we would maybe like for how we can create inventory or prioritize inventory. I mean, it's an interesting question to follow this up after talking about a second home tax. In a way, this is one of the tools that we have to be able to say how second homes or how investment homes should be used and how to discourage them. Type 1 and 2 short-term rentals, the original conception of Airbnb, like renting a spare room, renting out an ADU, things like that, to me, not really a problem in the scheme of our inventory. But type 3 short-term rentals that are not owner-occupied at all, that were just voted on to be banned by the city commission, is a huge victory for this community and us being able to work in lockstep with other communities around the country that are starting to see the way in which commercial, effectively residential units that are operating as a commercial product is not an appropriate use of housing inventory in communities that do not have enough housing. Plain and simple. It's not an appropriate use of a community's scarce resources when we already do not have enough housing. And I understand that there's a concern of property rights, and it's a market-based need, right? If a few years from now, things are leveled out, we're not in such a housing crunch that we don't need as much inventory, it's something that we can reassess. It's not a permanent solution. It's just one piece right now that we need to be able to say, one, developers, stop building properties that'll just become short-term rentals, which was a wake-up call for me, and I know members of the commission as well, when a developer last December went before with a site plan and said, look, this whole, all of these residential units up here in this project we're working on, all short-term rentals. That suggested that actually there is now an incentive to, rather than build residences for locals, for the people who live and work here, developers are cashing in and recognizing, oh, wow, I can just create luxury furnished units that somebody will turn into a short-term rental, and that makes me more money as well. And so taking that away is a huge success in being able to prioritize the local working people in this community.
Thank you. On to you, John.
I think that Commissioner Magic did a great job with the recent vote. I think she struck the right balance. I think that now we need to go even farther and say, not only are we going to ban type 3 short-term rentals, we don't need any more vacation houses in Bozeman, period. It's not sustainable as a town. We don't need that as a town. I think that's really important moving forward if we're being honest about sustainability. And that idea of no more vacation houses can be buttressed by this idea that the commission has an obligation to protect the health, the safety, and the welfare of Bozeman residents. We don't have an obligation to protect the pocketbooks of out-of-state developers. We need to protect our Bozeman residents. And one way to do that is to ensure that we have adequate water. Right now, the city is saying we're going to run out of water. And so why are we continuing to build vacation houses when we can't ensure that our residents are going to have adequate drinking water in 10, 15, 20 years? And so, again, I think we need to go even farther and say no more vacation houses in Bozeman.
Thank you. All right. We have enough time for one more question, so I'm just going to go to the next one. How can we better integrate immigrants in Bozeman and ensure that they are not being exploited? Jen, would you start us off, please?
Sure. Yeah, happily. So my time working for Senator Tester running his Bozeman office, one of my responsibilities was to work on immigration. And it was really eye-opening to me to see what's happening, not only nationally with the issue, and just how broken Congress is in not addressing, in fact, kind of ignoring immigration reform when it's so badly needed, and seeing the impact of that trickling down to Bozeman, who relies so heavily on immigrants and has seen an increase in immigrants to our community for a variety of reasons. A lot of it's quality of life, a lot of it's jobs, school, we have MSU here. So to try to address an issue and I think requires a variety of strategies, and Deborah, I really appreciate just thinking of how we can make life better for those who are in Bozeman, because, and I would expand that to Gallatin County in Southwest Montana, because I think there are a lot of people, immigrants, living in the shadows. So for one reason or another, whether they're legal or not legal, we need that work. And those jobs are there, and we have to find a way. And this is what I worked on for so many years, of trying to find permits, trying to get people to a status where they can feel safe and be part of our community. So I think fixing the broken laws, telling our Congress people how broken our system is, how it's affecting our local economy here in Southwest Montana, but then doing our best to try to integrate those people into our community the best ways we can.
Thank you. Roger?
Yeah, two things, education and language skills. Immigrants need to be able to participate in the community, and they also have to understand the values and the principles the community is based upon. So I certainly think that they need to be educated and their language skills brought up to speed. Additionally, the legislature this past session expanded the definition of human trafficking to include labor trafficking. And I think that we need to enforce the law to make sure that labor is not being trafficked from other areas of the country or even from outside of the country to the detriment of Montana residents. When Montana residents lose jobs, they lose economic opportunities. So the law has to be enforced when it comes to immigration to benefit Montanans. So I support the enforcement of our current immigration laws. But those who are here and those who are here legally, they have the right and they should be. It is our obligation to welcome them and to make them full citizens. And that is part of that is to educate them on how we do things here, as well as language skills so that they can fully participate. Since English is the dominant language here, they have to learn English so they can become full residents in every sense of the term. Thank you.
Thank you. Joey?
Yeah. And I also just want to acknowledge the other questions in the chat from Linda, Pat, Natsuki, and Ed. These are really spicy questions. I'm really grateful to see those pop in there. And yeah, I'd love to answer those at another time. I'm happy to put my number in the chat if we're allowed to put things in the chat once we're done here. As far as immigrants, I think it's first important for us to recognize that they are already an incredibly vulnerable part of our community, but a critical economic force in this community. That has been demonstrated time and time again, that they are already here in this community in a big way. And to me, the things that we need to, that we, the city, have responsibilities for is for their safety and for being able to work with every stakeholder to make sure that their children are safe and that their children get the resources that they need. One of my roommates is a substitute teacher, and he talks about times when he is subbing in our public schools, and the students who have limited English proficiency basically get a short bit of class, and then they just sit around for the rest of the day waiting in their other classes where everything's being taught to them in English, and these students are being left behind. And so that's of course, like, that's on the school board. We need to be able to support them in the works that they need to do in their own in the school district. But to us and for the rest of the community, what the city can provide is, one, convening and supporting our already beloved organizations in town, like Bienvenidos and Montana Language Services and the World Language Initiative, to make sure that they have what they need and they know that the city is a willing partner in the work that they're doing, because it's important. And beyond that, we need to make sure that we are removing barriers and condemning hate when it shows up in our streets. When folks come up and they threaten our immigrant neighbors, that the city unequivocally condemns it and prioritizes the safety of our neighbors. To me, those are in removing barriers and condemning hate are just two of the things that I do believe that the city is most responsible for when we're talking about immigration.
Thank you. And John.
Yo creo que necesitamos hablar con ellos y preguntarles cómo cómo podemos ayudarles, cómo podemos ayudarte, porque los inmigrantes son una fuerza muy, muy fuerte, ¿no? Son la espalda de nuestra economía y por eso tenemos que trabajar con ellos. No es suficiente que decir que ellos deben aprender inglés porque no va a estar así en el futuro, ¿no? Todos tenemos que enseñar otros idiomas. It's important that we work with, talk with, ask our immigrants how we can help them, how we can support them. They are a driving force in our economy. They're the backbone of our economy. Many of immigrants are doing jobs that other folks in Bozeman don't want to do. And so I think that we need to be very grateful for their work. I don't think it's enough to say that they should learn our language. I think that we need to go out and learn Spanish. I think we need to learn other languages. I think we need to have some humility and realize that English is white, Caucasian, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant is just not that's not that it's not going to work anymore. We need to really work with other people and have some humility and figure out our place in the world so we can all work together.
Thank you all. I think we're going to end questions there, but candidates, if you want to pop your email or phone or whichever way you'd rather be contacted in the chat at some point, go for it. Just please refrain from discussion in the group chat and private messaging. Now we're going to go on to the closing statement. So for this order, we're going to start with John, then Joey, then back to Carolina, then Roger and Jen. John, you're up again.
Okay. Bozeman is at a crossroads. We can choose more of the same, or we can say, hey, we need something different. And I represent something different. I'm the first person in my family to graduate from college. I believe in working hard. I also believe in working with everyone, whether they're immigrants, whether they're construction workers. I believe that we should give everyone a fair chance. At the American dream, whatever that is, whether that's owning a home or starting your own business or whatever it is, we need to support people to the maximum extent possible. We need, as a town, we need to set the tone for the rest of the state and say, we are welcoming. We want you here. We love you all. Please come work with us because we're all better when we work together. At the same time, we need to stand up for Bozeman and say, hey, we know how to regulate ourselves. So, Montana legislature, you need to step back a little bit and give us some room so that we can grow as we see fit. Because right now it's not working. It's not okay that people are living on the streets. It's just not okay. And we know best, we know much better than you of how to handle and tackle these problems. So, if you are looking for an experienced attorney, an experienced community organizer, someone with twin boys who are 4 years old that is totally committed to this town, I would ask for your vote this November.
Thank you, Joey.
Yeah, thank you to Bozeman CDOT Task Force for putting this together. It's great to be here and great to have another opportunity to talk with voters. Yeah, so I'm running for mayor because the working people in this community are really struggling. And we need to bring everybody together for us to be able to address these problems. That has been abundantly clear for my entire upbringing. I grew up in a part of this state that has very different values than Bozeman. I grew up in Miles City, came out here, very conservative values, and saw that actually a lot of the things that I was taught were necessarily the only way to look at the world. To me, I think it's really critical that we can bring someone into City Hall that has the experiences of a seasoned community organizer, of someone who has already built it and demonstrated community organizing craft. This week, as of tonight, we have knocked 12,000 doors in my campaign. We have over 100 unique volunteers, dozens of endorsements. I have more Bozeman donors than everybody running for office in this race combined. And I think that is the energy and the momentum that we need to be able to bring our community together to tackle these really ambitious problems in a way that is based on consensus, based in the community, where it puts the community back in charge because we absolutely know best what we need to do in our community. We have a saying in organizing that the people closest to the problem are closest to the solution. And that is the same pragmatism and energy that I will bring to City Hall. A pragmatism that you can rest assured you will never be surprised by something that City Hall does while I'm in office, because I will have already contacted you and engaged you before you were surprised. Somebody who brings in and recognizes we all need to come together and break bread and not divide, but be able to come together and recognize our shared differences to build a better Bozeman. Thanks.
Thank you. Carolina?
Thank you. Once again, I'm Carolina Tierney, and I'm running for Bozeman Municipal Court Judge. I gave my background and experience in opening statements, so I just wanted to briefly explain what the municipal court does. Municipal judges preside over misdemeanor offenses punishable by a fine and or up to a year in jail occurring within the Bozeman city limits, including MSU. There's a range of potential sentences that are prescribed by law, which may include monetary fines, classes, or mandatory or discretionary jail time. Within these parameters, judges also have broad discretion to do justice and ensure community safety, including ordering community service, probation, deferred sentences, and determining ability to pay and setting up payment plans for fines. My future co-judge, Judge Harrington, started the successful VETS, so Veterans Eligible Treatment Services Court, and is working on a DUI court that are run out of the Bozeman Municipal Court, in addition to great other diversion programs in that court for certain kinds of charges that are a little bit more financially motivated. A regular citizen is most likely to interact with the municipal court in some capacity than a district court. I've had the opportunity to appear in front of every available judge and court in Gallatin County, with the exception of town of West Yellowstone, and in various state and federal courts throughout Montana. I've personally seen the impact of having decent and fair judges in the courtroom, and have unfortunately had some poor experiences that have highlighted the importance of having fair and impartial judges. I believe this is a service position, and I will work to have all those involved in the justice system to be able to do their jobs and to have their day in court. And I hope to have your vote in November for Bozeman Municipal Court Judge. And thank you for including me in this forum as well.
Thank you. Next up is Roger.
First of all, I want to thank CEDAW for putting this on and hosting, having this evening's event and hosting us. And certainly all the participants who signed in today. Thank you for coming and listening to myself. And I'm sure I'll take a liberty of speaking for the other candidates. I'm sure they feel the same way. Thank you all. I'm endorsed by Bobcat and NFL legend Dane Fletcher. He's endorsed my candidacy. And you can hear my cat in the background. He is also endorsing my candidacy. And my apologies for that, but he is a talker. If you want a diversity of views and opinions on the city commission, I would ask for your vote. I believe I bring a unique skill set to that position, as you've heard through my answers tonight, as well as in the voter guide that's been prepared by CEDAW. And I respectfully ask for your vote in November. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jen.
Thanks. Thanks as well to CEDAW. I realized I started with that, but I really mean it. It makes a difference to have an organization like this out there helping guide us, helping educate us. And that really goes for the variety of other groups that are out there. I go back to my role as a community planner. That's what community is about. It's about a variety of organizations participating in our community. It's about individuals in our community helping us tackle these hard issues. Going last, it's great I get to steal comments from others. John, you talked about us being at a crossroads. I absolutely agree. We are. And we are better when we work together. And I think that is clear of any group, any city, any country, any state. And we absolutely have to do a better job of working together and realizing that we have to work together if we're going to get through some of these hard, difficult issues. I really like the idea, Joey, of breaking bread. You know, what better thing than that to bring us together? We have tough issues regarding the environment. We have tough issues regarding the people, our urban fabric. We didn't talk too much about kind of neighborhoods and the history of our town and just not wanting to either ruin the environment or ruin our precious neighborhoods, our history, and what we have here, you know, what we all love. I love the exercise tonight talking about, you know, 10 years from now, where do we want to be? And I think all of us as community members need to think about that. And I'd love to kind of have a community forum that just does that. And we're going to have an opportunity here shortly with the growth policy. And I want people to participate in that, as well as our strategic plan, as well as our UDC, as well as our sensitive lands plan. I realize that was a question tonight.
That's
all of these
time,
plans
Jen.
Require input. Thanks.
Thank you. On behalf of CEDA and myself, I really appreciate everyone who turned out tonight. Thank you to the candidates who are here. Please review our voter guide. It's in the chat. And you can also find it on CEDA's Bozeman Facebook page. Thank you so much. Have a good night, everyone.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you, CEDA. Thanks for having us.
Good night.
Good night now.
That concludes our broadcast tonight of the candidate forum for the seats of Bozeman Mayor, Bozeman City Commissioner, and Bozeman City Judge, Municipal Judge. Again, just a reminder, the election is coming up here on the 7th of November. And it's a mail-in ballot this time, so you should be getting your ballots in the mail soon if you haven't already. And they need to be voted and returned. They need to be received by this evening of the 7th. So if you can't get them in a mail pretty soon, you can drop them off at different collection points throughout Gallatin County. So again, I'll continue to borrow from Tom Hartman. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so get out there and get involved. Get yourself educated about the candidates, the issues, make informed decisions, and vote. That concludes this recording of the candidate forum that was sponsored by Bozeman City for CEDA that was held via Zoom on October 23rd, 2023, and broadcast on KGVM at that time.